Think about the prayer meeting service last Wednesday night. Sister Maxine, when she was testifying, she gave us a list of things that God has been to her. And she said she tells the Lord about that when she is praying. You are this to me. You've been this to me. And it made me think of a song that I've heard some sing before. The chorus starts out, "He is to me." And so I looked it up and wrote down some of these things. He is to me my anchor, my rock, my savior, my comfort, my joy, my master, my Lord. You know, who we see God to be affects how we serve him. And it made me think about a parable. I'd like to look at it in Luke, the 19th chapter, and in the 12th verse, starts out with this. He said, "Therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return." And in this one, he says, he called his 10 servants, delivered them 10 pounds, and said, "Occupy till I come." And it goes on down, each one of them, it showed by the service that they gave what they thought of the master. And the last one, in the 20th verse, it says he came to the last one. Another came saying, "Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I've kept laid up in a napkin. And here's the reason I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou laidst not down. Thou reapest that you did not sow." And so I was looking at that, how his look at who the master was affected how he served him. Well, tonight I want to add another word to God, and that is faithful. I would like for us to take a look tonight at a faithful God. I was looking at that because it's going to affect, when I see how faithful he has been in the past, I want it to affect each one of us in our service to him in the future. Definition of faithful was constant in the performance of duties or services. Has God been that?
Yes.
He surely has. A faithful God. And there is a picture that I'd like for us to take a look at in Psalms 19. Because, you know, one of the best places for us to be able to see a consistent God is in nature. And I'm always fascinated when we see the almanac that can tell us years out ahead, sunrise on this day, 20 years from now, will be at this minute. How can we know that? Do we say, "Well, boy, the people who write that book, they are really smart"? No, what we have is a faithful God that has been so consistent that we can count on it out in the future. But look at this one in Psalms 19, starting in the first verse. "The heavens declare the glory of God." You ever look up at night into the stars and does it declare the glory of God? Is it possible for me to look up there and say, "Boy, that's a bunch of stars and that's all I get from it"? Or does it make me see how great God is? "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." And then look at these next verses. "Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge." Without even talking in a word that we can understand, by looking at God's creation, it speaks to us. It wants to speak to us. Look at this. "There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." Is there a place anywhere in the world that that's a language that by looking up at the stars, if you want to, you would be able to see God? It says, "Their line is gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun." Look at this, "which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race." Now I was looking at that. When we look at that verse right there, a strong man about to run a race, We don't think about somebody, okay, we've run this race and he's about to collapse. But no, he's someone that has got a whole lot of energy when the race has been completed. And it made me think about at work, every once in a while they will have, and as people from all over the nation come for it, they will have a contest that they call Dare to Stare. Can you run stairs in different buildings downtown? And so what they will do is, as I looked at this one, it made me think about it, as a strong man to run a race. You know, there were some of the men there that ran those stairs. They start out in one of our buildings and they run up 21 stories, cross over and run down the 21. Cross over the atrium and go up 16 floors and back down to the atrium level. Run across the street and go up 31 floors and run back down. And you know what? When they finish, some of those men ran back in just like they had run out. It was like, if you had some more buildings, I'd go ahead and run those too. Now, I can appreciate that, what they do, because I have tried to just walk from the basement up about 3 or 4 floors, and I'm having trouble breathing. And they are able to run this race. Well, we're talking about a faithful God. He set the sun in motion. And I'd like for us to think about this tomorrow when you see the sun coming up. Rejoices as like a strong man to run a race. The sun is something that God created. Man can worry about when it's going to burn out, but God is well able to take care of those things. So for the definition of faithful was constant. What would be the opposite of that? There's a word that I don't hardly hear ever anymore. It's called fickled. What does fickled mean? Just the opposite of constant. It said unstable, of a changeable mind, wavering, not firm in purpose. You know, I am so thankful God has the definition of constant instead of fickle. You know, there are many people today worried about global warming, about climate change. But you know what? God is in control of all of that. We don't need to worry about it. It's in His department to take care of. You know, if He wanted to be unstable, boy, He could sure do some changing for us. Tomorrow it's supposed to get daylight at a certain minute, but it stays dark till noon or something and comes up. You know, we have just always had it this way because we're serving a faithful God. And this one tells us that the nature itself wants to be able to prove that to us. I thought about Noah. When he climbed out of the ark after having floated all those days, and he sees a totally different world now than what he had before, you know, he had to have had some apprehension. What does the future hold? What is in it for me? You know what this faithful God did for him? He said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to make a covenant with you so you don't have to worry about this ever happening again. I'm going to set a rainbow. There's going to be a bow in the cloud after a rain for you to be able to take a look at, and it's going to be a promise from me that I will never cause the earth to be destroyed by a flood again. A faithful God, one who is consistent, constant. And he also let him know... You know, and we need to remember this. Let's go back to it again. Genesis 8. So here, Noah he's starting life out again. Needs some assurances from God. And we need to remember this. Very last verse of the 8th chapter of Genesis. This is God's promise. While the earth remaineth, there be seed time and harvest. Cold and heat. Summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. That's a faithful God. That's a constant God. That's the one that we serve. There is a song, and Damon, if you don't mind us singing the chorus again for us, I'd like for us to always remember this chorus. I still serve an amazing God. If we could sing that.
God. He's
been with me every mama, weary feet of trouble. He still cares, he still hears,
he still hears.
When broken heart and crying tears, this old world is bound to change. Stays the same, and my song shall ever be. Amazing God, you're still amazing me. This old world is bound to change, and has it ever in just the last few months, the last couple years? There's been a word that I haven't hardly known in my lifetime in America. It's called the supply chain. And we're finding out it's been disrupted. What we used to could say, you know what, in America you can get anything whenever you want it if you have the money. And now we find from air conditioning to the grocery store, it's been disrupted a lot of time. This old world is bound to change. But I tell you what, we're still serving an amazing God. He has been faithful in the past. He will be faithful to us in the future. Made me think of another song, song number 342, Abide With Me. A verse of that says, swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay in all around I see. Well, we're serving a faithful God. O thou who changest not, abide with me. He will never change. You know, there are things in our time that are driven by polls. That's amazing. Instead of maybe we have convictions that, like Daniel, I stand right here. There are people that polls can tell them, you know what, this is no longer popular. You need to change that. What if God were affected by polls? If today he's popular or if he's not popular would determine the blessings that he gives us in nature or all around us. You know, we're living in a time this, even now, there have been leaders of some states that have said, you know what, we need to have some lockdowns. We need to really tighten this down longer. But something has happened this year. And it's starting to become more lenient. Is it because the virus has gone away? Nope, virus is still around. But there's something that's happening, and I'd be interested in you watching it for the next few months. There's an election coming. And polls drive those things. And there's a whole lot of people saying, we're tired of having these lockdowns, and we're looking for a change. And it affects people. What about God? You know, is he affected by when Jesus were here and he had so many people against him, did he change course? He continued right on and gave himself for us. Whosoever believeth should not perish but have everlasting life. I was thinking in that same parable about the servants and the pound. It said there were some, it said his citizens hated him. And they said, we will not have this man to reign over us. You know, there's many people today that are rejecting God. In fact, there's many people say God does not even exist. Does that change this faithful God and what he does for us? Does he say, I tell you what then, if I'm not popular, I'm going to show you something tomorrow. The sun won't even come up. There's a verse I want us to look at in Matthew, looking at this faithful God. Matthew, the fifth chapter. Fifth chapter and the fourth. Okay, 5:45. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Here's this faithful God. He maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. You know, Sister Maxine, I've maybe in this past week a message that she preached gave us a list of promises. You know, there's a big difference when God makes a promise and when I make a promise. In fact, the Word of God tells me to be real careful about the promises that I make. And here's some of the reasons. Over in Ecclesiastes, I think this will help us to look at the difference of man's promises and God's. In Ecclesiastes 5, and 4, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay it. Over in Psalms 15 and 4, it said, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, that's willing to stand by a promise that is made. I was looking at this. You know, why is he telling us to be real careful about making a promise? Because I'm a human down here. I may not be able, with the best of my intentions, I might not be able to fulfill it. I can tell you tomorrow I'll meet you at 9 o'clock at a certain place. And I may not be there if I had a flat tire or something happened to me. That's the difference between God and man. Ecclesiastes 5 and 2, it says, be not rash with your mouth. Let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. God's in heaven, thou upon the earth. Therefore, let your words be few. So I want to realize the difference of a promise that I can make and a promise that God makes. God is able to fulfill all of his promises. And on the ones that I make, the ones that I say, this is my plan to do it, what does the scripture instruct us to do about it? Over in the 4th chapter, and I think one reason for this verse being put in here is for a reminder to me about the plans that I have and what I plan on having happen in my life. It says in the 13th verse, and this is so easy for us to do. In fact, tonight I have plans for what I'll be doing this next week. It says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city, continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Now this talks about our life coming to an end. But I want us to also remember, I don't know what's going to happen to me tomorrow, and maybe my life won't come to an end. But the promises that I plan to, that I have made, or the determinations that I've made of what I'm going to do tomorrow, here's what it needs to be tempered with. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. That's what happens with my promises. I've got a plan that I'll do this tomorrow. Lord willing, I will do it. If he gives me the strength, I will do it. There's a verse of a song, 487. Not one promise has he broken. Faithful to his trust is he. It says, joy is mine beyond all measure when my Savior talks to me. What a confidence that can build in our life to realize how faithful God is. God made a promise to someone. It's listed over in Romans, the 4th chapter. Romans 4 and 20. So this was when a promise had been given to Abraham. You're going to have a son. And he was about, 19th verse, it says he was about 100 years old. But he, look at the 20th verse. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. 21st verse, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Fully persuaded that what God tells he's going to do, you can count on it. Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. So what about for us? You know, we sing this song, I trust in him, though disasters grim before me seem to be. You know what? None of us know what tomorrow holds. But I want us to go from here recognizing even more, we serve a faithful God. He will be there for us. He calms my fears. He dries my tears. And faithful is to me. No matter what happens, he will care for me. I am so thankful for that. Now there's another verse over in 1 Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and 24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Now that's a little small verse right there. What is he talking about that he'll be faithful to be able to make it happen? It's the verse before that. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that hath called you, who also will do it. The prayer that we would be able to make heaven our home in the end, God is faithful to be able to carry that out with us. We have a part that we play in that. There's another verse that when we have troubles come to us, we have another promise that God gave us. It's over in 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians 10 and 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful. What's he faithful with? Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. No matter what comes to us out in the future, let's remember these verses. We're serving a faithful God. Change and decay in all around I see. The things that used to tell me America is a stable place to be. It could change. O thou who changest not, he can still abide with me. That can bring a great consolation. I have another song I'd like for us to look at. It's song number 56. I'd like for us to sing this song together. This is the faithfulness of God. This songwriter is giving us his picture of it. Oh, look at the faithfulness of Christ our Lord, how he saves and keeps the soul. Who trust in his majesty, standeth on his word, shall be safe while the billows roll. Oh, trust in God. Oh, trust in God. Oh, trust in God. Oh, trust in the faith. For God. Oh, look at the universe that he has made. See the twinkling worlds on high. Alone on his fiat are these mighty planets stayed. Then we know he can never lie. Oh, trust in God. Oh, trust in God. Oh, trust in trust in the faithful God. The word he has spoken shall forever stand. It will never pass away. By it were the heavens made, the sea and all the land. It is surely the same today. Oh, trust in God. Oh, trust in God. Oh, trust in God. Oh, trust in the faithful God. The Lord, he is faithful to bestow on us life and breath, yea, and all things. But chiefly his saving grace, pure righteousness. Oh, what peace, love, and joy it brings. Oh, trust in God. Oh, trust in God. Oh, trust in God. Oh, trust in the faithful God. So when we look at God throughout the ages, we can say he's been consistent. He's been constant. What I want to look at now for just a little bit, you know what? He desires the same back from me. Can he count on me to be stable, unwavering? I know I can't do it like he can. That's why he tells me, be careful about the promises that I make, because I'm a human. He can stand by all of his. I can have things happen that at the best of my ability, I may not be able to fulfill them. But he's looking for faithfulness in me. I'd like to look at a verse over in Proverbs. Proverbs, the 20th chapter and the 6th verse. Most men will proclaim everyone is goodness, but a faithful man who can find. And I don't think this is just talking about men. A faithful person in our day and time, who can find them? It brought this song to my mind. I haven't heard it for a while. May those who come behind us find us faithful. Those that are coming behind me, will they find me faithful? May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe. And the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. You know, we're not going to be able to be faithful in ourselves. But God wants to be right there. The faithful God wants to be right there with us to help us out. But there's places in the scripture that talks to us about a faithful man. I'd like to look over in Matthew the 24th. Matthew 24 and 44. You know, this is telling us about the end of time. I'd like for us to also think about it as the end of my time. Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his house to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Thinking about this, you remember the one that said, Lord, your pound has now got 10 pounds. He qualified for these scriptures. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. You know, if his Lord had waited longer, he possibly would have had 15 pounds continuing building it. And I'm thinking about that for myself. Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he comes, this is saying, be ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. I don't want to be the one that said, Lord, I've got the pound here, wrapped it up in a napkin. I tell you, the God that I knew you to be was a stern God. And so I've just kept it here to give it back to you. What I want to realize is, you know what? I'm serving a faithful God, one that wants to walk with me every day. But I also want to realize that with these verses, the Lord's watching. He has been faithful to me. Now he's interested in how faithful will I be back to him. And I thought about this over in Daniel. Daniel had quite a testimony going for him. In the 6th chapter of Daniel, and in the 4th verse, what if this could be said about each of us? It said, then the presidents, the princes, sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. So what they're doing is checking his doings in the government. Has he done anything wrong? They could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error in him. Found so doing. You know, as far as I know, he spent his life, the rest of his life in captivity, died in captivity. And yet, every once in a while, we see the spotlight come on for Daniel. Just a very few times in the book of Daniel. But what we see about that is when the spotlight turns on him, he is faithful. He was ready. He didn't have to say, folks, I didn't realize this was coming like it was. I'm in no place to talk to God right now. I'm going to have to make some things right. But instead, you know what? Why is King so hasty about this? We serve a God that will tell us what this dream is that you're looking for. A faithful man. Then it goes on down in the 10th verse. When they realize there's nothing that we can find about him, except that he's determined to serve his God. So they made the decree that you couldn't make a petition of any God or man for 30 days. And then Daniel kept on praying. Look at this faithful man. 10th verse, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. You know what? This wasn't the beginning of his praying 3 times a day with his windows open toward Jerusalem. This is where they saw that he met with God. This is where they saw, you know what? This is the one thing that we can get him for. You know, they didn't have to go looking. Well, he used to keep his windows open. He doesn't now. Somehow we're going to have to look inside his room. He must be praying there. No. It said he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Still just consistently being faithful to his God. And you know what? We can do the same thing. I want to be able to hear this. There was another parable of the talents. We had the one of the pounds. But over in Matthew is the one about the talents. And there was something said at the last of that. Matthew 25. 25 and 21. Where they said, I've gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. What's it going to mean for us at the end of our life to hear that? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. It will be done from consistently trying to pattern ourselves like God has been. Yes. Faithful, constant, consistent. We have one more verse that tells us about being faithful. It's in Revelations 2 and 10. How long will we need to be faithful? Carry it on through 2022, and that's good enough. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Faithful this year, next year, by the Lord's help. And we have quite an example to be able to follow. One is that we're not affected by the world going the other direction around us. May we have the same love that God has for them. He causes the sun to rise on the just and the unjust. He allows the rain to come for both because he loves us. May I be faithful back to him. And then I want to look for just a minute at the verse in Hebrews. We've got, and each of us could look back around us at the people that have gone before us, a great cloud of witnesses. In Hebrews 12 and 1, seeing that we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. If you were to stop for a little bit and look back over your life at a category of faithful people, did it mean that they never had trouble in their life? No, they were faithful to God, just like he has been faithful to all of us. I have just a list in my mind of people that I have just watched through the years. Just put it all in the Lord's hands. I guess I'll always remember Sister Williams. You know, Curtis was having heart trouble, her son. So she wants to go and be with him. She went there on a weekend and was with him and came back home on Sunday evening and had a pain. And by Wednesday, they realized, you know what? Death is soon to be unless something has changed. You know, she started out a week ago concerned for her son that his life could go. And now her life is on the line. But I watched a faithful person do what she had always done. She just put it all in the hands of the Lord. You know what? The same thing that her son has been doing on a regular basis. And it's not just these people get lifted up to a high level. No, it's the same thing that we can do if we will be faithful to the Lord day by day. And I remember it was Wednesday night. She's down pretty sick. I think it was Saturday afternoon maybe that she passed away. But she had put that in the hands of the Lord, her life. How long do we be faithful? Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. I'm going to do what I did with the parable of the talents. I'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Seeing that we have this great cloud of witnesses, for me to end up in the faithful category, let us lay aside every weight and anything that would beset us, the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. God has surely been faithful to me through my life. I want to be faithful back to him in return. I desire your prayers.